Look at me with technicals. Oh yeah. What up?
Let's see what I'm doing here.
Never done this before.
Okay.
Doing.
We
are definitely doing. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
We are there. What is in this drink? It's so delicious. Let me just say, as an adult, I can now only drink things that I could in out of glasses that I can see through, and adding ice definitely elevates the beverage. It takes it to like the next level. It almost puts it on a pedestal. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Anybody out there is wondering? Nobody cares.
No, I think they do care. I do.
Oh, okay.
But did you tell them what you was drinking?
No.
You might want to do that part.
Cranberry ginger ale.
Yes, the cranberry
ginger
ale.
Canada dry. Cranberry
ginger ale. We can't do that because then we're going to pay us for advertising. So we can't show it, but we can tell them. Yes.
But,
so, in our cups, is the Canada dry cranberry ginger ale.
Straight, no chaser. And it's delicious.
I don't know about the straight part.
Mine is straight. What you got going on?
So, hi guys! Welcome to Pandagasm! It is your favorite hyper hostess, Panda.
Woo-hoo!
Gang, gang. And my lovely, lovely, wonderful co-host, Nettie Boo.
Shout out to the Tauruses. We're in Taurus season, the very best season of the year.
Because I love everyone equally. Yes.
Yeah. No. Gotta do it again. Shout out to the Tauruses. We're in Taurus season, the very best season of the year. Tell me a Taurus you hate.
I don't exist.
I
can give you two right now.
Doesn't exist. You don't really hate them. You think you hate them.
Okay, I have an extreme distaste for them. How's that? Since hate is kind of passionate, very harsh.
If there's no passion, it ain't real. So,
if they were on fire, I wouldn't piss on them.
Because you would get a bottle of water instead.
And drink it. So that's how that goes. So we have Siani, what's it mixed with? Ice. Because I will not incriminate myself on the people's public life things. If you want to discuss that later, we can.
It's not incriminating, you're not driving. Right?
I'm not driving, but you know people.
Oh, okay.
You know people with people. So tonight we are going to be discussing all of this hip hop beef. Hip hop, R&B, we got Glow going at it with JT. We got J. Cole going at it with Kendrick Lamar. And we have the most recent one, Chris Brown and
Quavo.
Ooh, child.
But
let's
it's not
talk about
J. Cole
it, baby.
Going against Kendrick Lamar.
No, I know.
Kendrick
I know.
Came out and was like, grip.
See, I didn't even hear the Kendrick. That's
the
tough
thing.
Part.
So let me.
I should have done that.
Let me disclaimer. Kendrick started it. It was Kendrick that started it.
Okay.
let me disclaimer. First of all, I can't follow all of the disses because I don't know all of the like connections. Right.
Mm-hmm.
When I say did my research, I literally been on YouTube listening to what other people are saying
and reading the comments
and then going back and listening to the song like, oh shit, that really did happen. And then going back, like watching, like literally researching the beefs. And it's a lot. It is a lot to follow.
Listen, I have a life outside of these celebrities. This is rich people.
It was a lot, but I did get some information. I'm not done with my research. I still got like a couple more.
All right, so what did you find out about who?
What I found out was Kendrick started it. He came out and just started blasting at everyone. J. Cole responded, but he was very strategic in his response. Like, literally, it was less of like, to me, and this is my opinion, listening to the song, he really like explained stuff that was going on instead of just taking shots like, you know, motherfucker, big three or whatever, whatever. He literally was like, this happened, and then this happened, and then that's why this happened. You did this, and then I did this. And I was like, that was cool. Thanks. Then, so Kendrick came out and said, F the big three, it's only big me. The big three were Kendrick, J. Cole, and Chris Brown. And again, my disclaimer is, I researched this today, okay? So if I'm wrong, don't crucify me in the comments, okay? I could be wrong, but this is my understanding based off the research that I did. Kendrick came out and said, F you to these people. So the big three was Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake. And they were like the unstoppable big three. When he said F the big three is just big me, that was like shots at Drake and J. Cole. J. Cole responded very etiquettely to me. And then Drake responded. I really like Drake's song. But again, I don't know everything that's going on, so I don't know all of the dissing. There was one video I watched where the guy literally broke down the lyrics. Like, he said this because of this, and he said this because on this album there was this song and brought it up. Like, it was he really broke it down. I don't remember it, but he broke it down, and I'm like, oh, that's what that means. That's why he said that. So yeah, that was that. And I haven't really made it all the way to Chris Brown and Quavo. I just know Chris Brown is Tarzan, and he is just like, Quavo, I'm in your front yard. What's up?
Listen, so I don't know what's going on between anybody. Welcome everybody that
Can
just joined
Chris
us.
Brown? I didn't say Chris Brown, France. I meant to say Drake, Cole, and Kendrick.
Yeah, you fixed it afterwards.
Okay.
Yeah, you fixed it afterwards. So welcome everybody that just started right now. We're going over all this beef that's happening in the hip hop, in the music world, in the music industry, the rich people problems. So if you have any updated information on who's beefing over what, let us know in the comments. If you're on YouTube, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitch, if you're on Instagram, wherever you are, drop it in the comments. Make sure you share the live, tell a friend to tell a friend that you're watching Pandacasms, because where else would you want to be on a Wednesday night at 7:30 or 8 o'clock-ish? Right? You want to be here with us. So, yes, first of all, Chris Brown's response was the only thing. No, I listened to Quavo's response also. It was not nice. I didn't like it. He should have just stayed quiet and left it at what it was. And from what my understanding is, that it's over a woman.
Yeah, so Chris Brown and Quavo, my understanding is it's over a woman. And I don't think it's Sweetie. I don't think it's over
She's saying
Sweetie.
It's not her, but I think it's Karrueche.
I think it's over a woman, but Sweetie is being thrown in there because she's also a mutual. That's what I think. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
I think this is great entertainment because I just couldn't see myself doing this. I love peace in my life. And I don't like bacchanal and drama, so I'd be like, hey, that happened. Okay. I am no longer in the field of correcting people's thoughts or my wrongs or rights. If that's what you heard, then that's what it is.
So I have another question. If anybody knows, please tell me. So again, I don't know the ins and outs of the disses within the songs. Why did Ross get in there?
Like, who, Ross?
Rick Ross.
How? Wait, what?
I didn't know he was
in the mix too. How?
Rick Ross dissed Drake, and I don't know why.
Somebody let us know what's going on with Rick Ross and Drake, please, because we is lost.
Very, very much so. Oh, and I listened to Drake's song like 3 times. I don't know none of the disses in his song. I'm like, it's a good song.
I don't know who he's talking to. But we know who they're talking to, but we don't understand the stemming. We just like,
Popcorn. The only thing I could think of is he said something about make your baby mother talk or something like that. And you know Rick Ross's baby mother be like, she's wild. Like,
really? I don't even know who she is.
I only found out because of this whole beef stuff. Never knew who she was, but if you look at her social media, she's like active and like wild on social media. She gives me Tokyo something. Tokyo Black China's mother.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. I don't know the name.
She gives me Black China's mom.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. With the Miami accent.
Oh, and I absolutely loved Chris Brown's diss. I just want to say that. Giant exit. He claims he didn't look out for Birdman when he was down, only seeing a little clip.
Who didn't look out for Birdman?
Birdman, that's with Toni Braxton?
Who didn't look
y'all
out for Birdman?
Y'all need to get more details and information. Ross is mad at Drake because he put a hold on French Montana from being released, and that's Ross's boy. Oh, from releasing a song. Oh, that's what the beef is about. About releasing a song. Ross is mad about that.
So he just came, but he was just like, oh, everybody's beefing, let me throw a punch?
I guess so. He's like, hey, so, I want in! And Ross don't like Birdman either. Rick Ross dissed Drake because Drake sent cease and desist orders to French Montana for whatever reason. Oh, it gets juicy!
Oh! Hey. But again, did he just jump in there because there's beef going on?
I guess so.
That didn't happen within the last 14 days.
So somebody said, honestly, it could be both Rudy and Karrueche. So here's my thing. I know a lot of people were very upset about the apology that J. Cole did at his concert. And honestly and truthfully, I respect him for that. And I guess it's against the code of music industry that you're not supposed to apologize loudly. But I feel like if you disrespected me loudly, why can't you apologize to me loudly? You know what I mean?
The rap beef just started.
And for me, I respect the person that knows how to apologize because there's a lot of adults that do not know how to apologize.
Yes, I understand that. And I get that. So I guess I'm on the fence. I honestly am not on the fence because I don't feel either way about it if he apologized or if he didn't apologize.
But I thought it was really sexy. That's what it is for me. The way he did it, he was like, it just didn't feel right in my soul. And I'm like,
oh. He said that because that's what the song gave.
Don't
feel right in my soul.
Listen, was the diss that bad?
I don't follow all of it. Okay. I don't know all of it, but as a song, it was just...
You guys, talk to us. What do you guys think about the apology that was issued? Is it something, Cole don't get no points because he apologized after this and Drake? I don't know. I think it's deeper than that. I don't think it's about a song.
All right, let's keep talking, y'all. Let's keep talking.
Because a lot of people were not impressed with the fact that he did that public apology.
They didn't appreciate
it. Why would you do that?
Already. Like, let it play out. Let the beef play out. We always complain, like you hear fans of rap music always complain that rap is dead, rap ain't what it used to be. Like, let the beef play out. As long as ain't nobody pulling up, ain't nobody trying to kill nobody, like, get in the studio.
And get all your anger out on the microphone. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I'd rather that. Exactly. And it's paying their bills. Like, beef it out on the mic as long as we don't take this.
Get in the studio.
Keep talking mess because sometimes I'll be bored and I don't have anything to do. And I'll be like, did you see this girl? I'll be sharing stuff in people's DMs. It goes down in the DM. I'll be like, did you see this tea? Ooh,
I'm saying to me unless you send in an explanation.
Let's guess because you'll be like, I need context. Why can't we go at what's face value? Nope. Why can't we go by what's presented in front of us right here, right now? Why all this context? I wasn't there. I don't know. This is what I was shown. Why can't we go off?
I come back with all the articles I found on Google.
Yes, this is exactly what she does. Our group chat is insane, you guys. Our group chat is wild. It goes from, yo, this is wild. She's like,
hold that downer. People are forcing it.
Hold that
thought. This is the real story.
She's like, this is what really took place. And it happened 15 years ago. I don't know why people are making a big deal out of it now. This is what Lady Boo does with us because it's her nature. Oh, Lanice, you need background too? I don't need background. Because you know what? I don't care.
But in order for me to talk about it on my podcast with you.
I understand that. But at the same time, it's like, oh my God. Most of the time, it's draining.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I get it, but I can't.
That was in front of me. Because even, when my brain starts questioning the questions, ah, man, the rabbit hole is horrible.
So and when she says, this is my nature, this is my nature. So the other day, one of my homeboys texted me, says, how much money do you need for vacation? And I was like, it depends. Where are we going? He's like, I'm not answering any of the fucking questions.
Oh,
how much money do you need to go on vacation? I'm like, yo, it depends. Am I bringing my son? I'm going to an amusement park. Am I going to see family? Like,
and he was just like, give me a roundabout figure. And you're like, I can't go a vacation to my son can be going around the corner to somewhere he's never been. Whereas a vacation to me is getting a stamp in my passport. So what type of vacation are we talking about?
Exactly. Is it a vacation of I'm coming to visit you by myself?
Okay, hold on.
Or
just go the extreme.
That's what I did.
And what did you give?
I gave him, I was like, for 4 days, going away with my family to an amusement park, I wouldn't bring anything less than $7,000.
Sounds about right. I was going to say 10. I was going to say 10,000 if you have a family.
Yeah.
But it's only three of them. But still, so
because I'm thinking about park prices.
Yeah.
Food. Other random stuff.
Only because of inflation. Mm-hmm. And if you're traveling, other states have higher taxes sometimes. Yeah. And then, you know, Mass, we don't have tax on food. But you never know. And sometimes when you're on vacation, you don't want to say no, depending on how old they are. Mm-hmm. Like, my kids are aware now. They're like, why can't I? And I don't like saying no when I'm away.
First of all,
I don't like the word no when I'm here, when I'm not away, much less when I am away. So, no?
Let me tell you. So, y'all know, I have a toddler. He's three.
Mm-hmm.
We was in Target, and we walked in, there was, like, a big price sign. It was like, ooh, that's expensive.
Hey, what do you know is that expensive?
It was something for $30. And I doubt he knew that it was $30 or what $30 is. But he just seen the price and was like, oh, that's expensive.
I love how animated he is.
I was like, I got to stop. I got to be careful.
No, no. You're creating a mini you with a penis. That's all. And that's okay.
Mama.
A mini you.
You see that?
That's expensive. I can hear him saying it. I can hear him in my head right now. All right, you guys, so I guess we got enough information about the beefing, and if we need context for information that's presented to us, let's circle around to the next topic of circling the block. Do you circle back once a relationship is done? You know, a few years go by, some time goes by. Would you circle the block? We see right now, J-Lo circled the block a few times. And it somehow seems to be working, but not working for her in this last one. I don't know if it is because they're not in the public eye, which I think is the best thing. However, it is working out for Shanti and what's his word?
Nelly.
So first of all, I didn't even know they was together in the past to have a relationship in the future. When I tell you, my man, we're coming back. That was
your name? Shanti. He was in the video, sis.
I don't remember last week. You want me to remember 15 years ago?
I mean, that was the music of our time. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was not. So back in the day, I was a very on the surface person. I didn't think deeply into things. So mm-hmm. if somebody was in a video, okay,
you're in a video.
Yay to you.
Say something right now, Nelly. Did y'all know, and I'm saying this because I just found this out, that song he made was about a drive-by.
What song?
I'm going down, baby, your street in a Range Rover, sweet sweeper, baby.
Oh, I thought he was saying zoom, zoom, bang, bang.
Oh, that's the radio version.
Oh, see?
I've already always known. I didn't know what a street sweeper was, but street sweeper, baby, ready to let him go, chim, chim. Yes.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I was just 9 years old. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, so how long ago you found out? A week ago?
It was like a month.
Anybody else knew that? Anybody else? Talk to us.
So I was listening to something, and it was like Nelly made a whole nursery rhyme out of a drive-by shooting. And I'm like, what you talking about? I looked over like, whoa.
Did you hear that?
That is a drive-by.
All right, circling the block.
Sorry.
Thoughts on it? Let's talk. Circling the block. Are you circling around?
So
should they have known what they had when they had it? whether it's a person or a job, talk to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. Get up in the comments. Nettie Boo's hand is raised. You're on the flow.
Rick Ross is the most recent person that has circled the block, apparently.
Really?
The girl that he's with, he was with her back in 2015.
Oh.
Yeah, see what happens when you get me Googling and trying to figure out.
Maybe I shouldn't tell you what's going to be the topics at hand. I should just be like, boom, this is what it is. It's at face value.
Know.
You have no time to research.
Well, it fell into play.
It did.
We were talking about.
It did. And then when you were coming in, what Shanti was on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sorry.
But yeah, so the girl Rick Ross is currently with, he was with back in 2015, so he's up with the block.
Well, here we are now, 2024 and 2015, mm-hmm. So it's a good 8 years. Mm-hmm. They say that people grow every 5 to 7 years, whether you grow up or down is, you know, subjective, but you're a different person every 5 to 7 years.
Hit me up, Lenny. Hit me up. I'm
like, I'm spending Nettie for topics to look into. Because you know what? You two have a really great conversation because she does the same thing. She mm-hmm. does the same thing to me. She's like,
I got a thought.
And then she goes and does her research.
Because it matters. All of it matters. Mm. Circle the block. Would you circle the block?
So I thought, I was thinking about that all day today. There is only one person in my mind that I can think of that I can say I had a relationship with and it wasn't like a squirrel moment that I would circle the block with. So if we actually sat down and had a conversation about being in a relationship, you are not qualified to circle the block. There's only one person that the door is open for. If we were just squirreling around, maybe yeah, because squirrels, you know, we come back every season, but sometimes we'll always around. However,
so there's one person that you would consider circling the block?
One person and one person only. Yep. If he ever watches this, gang gang, the door's open. If not, hey. Y'all, if he's not on here, so it ain't none of y'all.
To be clear.
If we're just being honest, I mean, I'm sorry if my delivery isn't the best, but respectfully, there's only one person that can circle the block because I feel like I'm a very patient person. I'm very transparent. You will always know what's on my mind. It may not be said in the best manner, but for some reason, my brain doesn't know how to like shut off and not say what's in it. Mm-hmm. So usually what's in my heart, I speak.
And that's now, has it always been the case?
Just about, yeah, but I don't like that. And sometimes people listen or they don't listen. And then that's when the drift comes in. Remember we talked about the drift? Mm-hmm. So now I don't drift anymore. I have like that one final conversation. Because again, I'm a big girl now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we should continue having the same conversation over and over because we're not 2 and 3, and I do this all day with 2 and 3 year olds. So at 40, I don't think I need to continue having the same conversation with someone. And so, yeah, no, there's no one that can come back but one person because I've never had to have that same conversation with them ever. There aren't many conversations that I had to have with them because I feel like at this age, there's just some things you should just know better than to do mm-hmm. with people, whether it's romantic or platonic, there's just things you just don't do, right? There's just an understanding after getting to know someone of things you do and don't do. So when you do the things you shouldn't do, why should you get another chance?
This is now, but so there isn't anyone from your younger years?
No, they don't even count. It's like a credit report. After 7 years, you fall off.
So it wouldn't be circling the block if they seen you today.
And then again, like I said,
hey.
We never had the conversation. It was probably a squirrel moment. You know what squirrels do.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. It was probably never a relationship. So there's nothing to circle back to.
All right. Well,
there's that. No, I'm not circling because if we did have the conversation, you should have known that.
I feel like I'm the opposite. I don't see anything wrong with circling the block. I feel like sometimes you have to step away that much. You know, like you said, everyone grows. You grow every 5 years. You know, it could have been a white person.
Wrong time. And I do agree with that. I do. But there's just some things you just can't come back from. Hey.
Alright, then we ain't make it to forever. You probably ain't
I know that song.
I love that song.
I like it too, and I listen to it, and I be like, he be like, I could buy you a business and pay the rent. Like, yeah, go right ahead. One thing for me not to have to do
that.
In the song.
He said.
He does. He's like, I can help you get a business.
No, son. If you still want to open up the hair salon,
yeah,
for the wigs,
yeah, whatever.
You reiterated that motherfucker.
Listen, I heard what I heard. It's not my fault. It wasn't clear. For me.
We wasn't talking about your business.
Right. Whatever he said.
I'll still pay for the wig.
It's one less thing I have to do. Kudos to you. Take over that responsibility. I don't care. But don't think that I'm going to be more of your friend because you're taking care of something that
no,
I can do at a younger
age. That is, I completely understand being better friends than being.
Me too.
Like partners.
From a distance. Like I see you by accident. Boston is small. We bound to run into each other if you still live here.
There's no
one. Hey, nice seeing you.
There's no one that you date or consider dating. You're like, you know what? Not as a lover, but we'd be great friends.
No, unfortunately. I did think about this the other day. I was in the car with two of my sisters of life, and we were having this conversation, and I did a lot of self-reflection, and I was like, no, there isn't. Because at this point in my life, if you're not adding some sort of value to me, I don't want you around.
But what if they are adding value?
How?
As a friend.
What?
Great person to talk to.
I have a therapist.
Bounce ideas off of.
I have a therapist.
Maybe go out every once in a while.
I have great soulmate friends. I have amazing, long-time friends.
Okay. And we're talking about second on the block. So I'm talking about
me too. So you're giving me the reasons as to why they might. And I'm just like,
I'm not saying be with you.
No, I know, but I don't want them at all because I'm so patient. You should have never did what you did to get us
so
in this space.
My thing, what I'm saying is we don't work as a couple, right? So for me, when I think about
because if you're going to disrespect me to the point that I don't want you in my life at all, why would I want you to be my friend?
Why?
We're talking
about a different kind of breakup though.
To you.
Okay, so the breakup I'm talking about is not, it didn't come with any disrespect. We just don't work as couples, right? So when you think about friends.
I haven't experienced that yet.
Versus,
that's why there's only one person. There's only one person that happened with. Everybody else, I'm looking at them like, if you get too close on a bad day.
So would you consider that one person, like, consider being just friends, good friends?
I would have to think about that. I don't want to answer in the moment.
Okay.
Hey, it is what it is. I would have to think about it because I may have, I don't know. He's lickable.
But so if you don't work as a couple, like in
it's
a romantic relationship.
I might be that bitter Betty that's manifesting bad things in his life. I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I'm that mature with that individual. Everybody else, I wish you well. I wish you so much peace in your life you forget about me. This one, I don't know.
That's how I notice we have on.
Matching shirts! Don't look at the boobs. The boobs, no. The shirt.
The logo is on the boobs. It's impossible to not look at the boobs. So it's the Renaissance concert.
Let's see what people are saying
doing this dance
in the comments. Let's see. We have a few people that have been joining. Hello, everyone that has joined on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Instagram. Ron said he never did that. I don't know what he never knew, but I'm glad that you learned something new today. No, I don't want to answer in the moment. Oh, don't laugh at me, child. I don't. Because you know me, in the moment, I'll be like, yeah. And then 10 seconds later, I'm like, wait, hold on.
That's fine. You're about to change your mind.
I know that. But I think 10 seconds is too quick. That means I didn't even really sit down and think about it. But for me, anyway.
I think we should be building a village, right?
I agree.
So if somebody that you were in a relationship with, right, you got to know each other in ways that you wouldn't even really get to know your fully platonic friends, right? Mm. If you guys come to an agreement or come to a space where it's like, you know what? I love being around you. We have great chemistry when we're together. We have fun, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to doing the hard things of life that I would expect to be able to do with my partner, that is, we go in two separate directions. So let's not do that part of our life together. And let's just do this part of our life together.
I love the way you think.
That's building a village, right?
Yeah,
this person does serve.
And we can definitely build a village with you there. And I have a village here. And those two villages look great, very far away from each other. And those villages meet each other by accident. It is so beautiful. And
All because you want to mail in the payment for your bills, and I like to pay my bills a lot.
Yep, here we go.
Because it'd be the little issue.
As long as it gets paid, that's all that matters, right? At the beginning of the day, the bill got paid, and at the end of the day,
you gotta
buy
stamps, and you like, we wasting money on stamps.
Well, I have a business account with the post office, so it's tax deductible, and I get it back from Uncle Sam, so it doesn't matter. I mean, I'm getting the money back.
And that's what I'm saying.
I'm not missing anything.
The smallest disagreements. They're gonna give up a whole person.
Because you know what? I never lack. I transition. So when that person leaves, a better one comes along.
To fill that space.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like, why would you let them give up all of this space?
It's the circle of life.
Thank you, baby.
She knows she don't. She's crazy. Are you kidding me? That would be her other personality talking online. Because no, she doesn't. She'd be one. No, she'd be like, set that rascal on fire. What? Are you kidding? Not her. And especially depending on who the person is and what they did. No, she's lying. I know her better than she knows herself.
We're not talking about bad breakups, though.
Even then, I've never had a good one. I just drift.
But what about the idea?
The idea of what? Of a good breakup? Sounds nice. It sounds amazing. It does. And I give a round of applause to everyone who's had a great, nice breakup where they can be friends with these people. As of this part of my life, yeah. I'm not doing it.
Today I choose peace.
I choose peace every day, and I am at peace with you not being in my life in that way. Okay. Sorry. I am. I'm at the point of my life where I sit down now and I think things through all the way, and I'm like, I can deal with this consequence.
That's good. That's what I do before I make a decision.
That's what I do.
I try to understand what the consequences are. It's like,
mm-hmm. I can deal with that. Right. I can live with this.
So we're gonna do this. Yeah. I can live with the consequences.
I can live with this. Yeah.
It's a good way to make decisions.
It is an amazing way to live this. Tongue twisted. It's an amazing way to make decisions, I think.
I agree. Can we talk about something else?
We absolutely can. What you want to talk about? Because I had 2 things for you.
What you got?
Those are the 2 things I had.
Oh, okay. The attack on DEI. What do you know about it?
I think it's people that, okay, I have mixed feelings on it for one. So the attack on DEI drives me crazy because I do think people need to learn how to speak to one another so that we can coexist together in mm-hmm. peace. But at the same time, it's like, in the world of business, can we just do what we got to do so we don't even have to have these conversations about DEI and just respect one another? Like, I think when we wake up, that should be our first thing, like, to just respect one another. Mm-hmm. I was always taught that we should respect people the way we should treat each other the way we would treat a dog. You're either going to see the dog and you're going to pet it, or you're going to cross the street, but you've acknowledged it and you give it the respect it's due, right? That's it. Just respect people. I don't think people should have to earn respect. I think it is your birthright that you get respect. So this whole DEI thing drives me insane. Like, I really have to sit down and talk to you how to teach you how to talk to someone or how to treat someone. Why can't we all just come do whatever it is we need to do and go home?
Because you were raised that way, not everybody was.
And I feel like that's the problem.
Yeah.
I feel like we shouldn't be teaching this at work. We come to work to make money. To get a job done, not teach people, grown adults, not teach people how to treat one another. I do this all day for work with 2 and 3-year-olds. It drives me crazy that people take time out of work to get work done to teach people how to treat one another. So I feel like the only people that have a problem with DEI at work are racist people. It's usually people of power, and majority of the time, people of power are of Caucasian descent because they have, you know, generational wealth and those things. They're more trust babies. I'm not saying it's not in our community, but the majority of it is in the Caucasian community. So therefore, money talks and bullshit walks. So if you have the money to do the foolishness that you do, you could get away with it. So they have a problem with it because they're like, why do I have to talk to people with respect? What is that? They got money. They don't believe in that.
So I heard the statement of attack on DEI. So I did some research.
And I think I sent you a link too from when I was scrolling on LinkedIn. And it was like during Women's Month or something, or Black History Month.
So yeah, I didn't research it then. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it said attack. I think that's when it first started, right? But I think what got me is attack. I'm like, attack on DEI, what the hell's going on? And it did trace back to when the woman at Harvard quit, mm-hmm. right? Stepped down. And it's concerning to me because I think the DEI in the workplace is important because I think it's an opportunity for people to learn to live together. A lot of people don't have a place to go or like the space to learn those things, right? And we have to be fair. Like I said, you were raised this way. Not everybody was raised this way. And they want to, you know, learn the ways of giving respect regardless of who the person is, or being able to live together as a community regardless of what your background is, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you know, mostly everybody works, so it's an opportunity for someone that is interested or someone that is willing to learn about the different backgrounds that are out there, at least the ones that they work with, right?
That are this is true.
In their space. So I think it's important. And one of the things that I heard in one of the videos that I was watching is that CEOs of companies are using this as a way to express how maintaining like DEI programs in their businesses is exhausting to them. And I feel like the audacity. There are so many things at work that are exhausting. This one piece, like, could foster a better future. Mm-hmm. You know, you get what I'm saying? Excuse me. I just feel like that was bullshit. And I feel like they're using it as an opportunity to, you know, get rid of DEI programs because they always wanted to not have DEI programs.
Oh, yeah,
and they just jumped on the bandwagon of having DEI programs mm-hmm. because that was the wave,
yeah.
you know, to get in, you know, that diverse
concept. Yeah, of course. That was just to meet the requirements so that they can fit in for the moment.
Yeah.
It never really, it was just, it's like part of the Me Too movement. Like, hey, I want to jump in. You know, they wanted to be part of the Me Too on the
right.
DEI movement. They
right.
didn't really care.
Right.
Most corporate places
to look like an ally.
Care. Yeah. Most corporate places do not care about us. It's just about the money. It's a business. We wish people.
No. How she said some people kick dogs.
Oh, some people kick dogs. There might be good reasons why the dog got kicked, but that's another conversation for another day. I don't want the animal people coming after me. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I just seen that the caucasity.
So, I see both sides of it. Yes, it can be draining because it is really hard.
No, I don't. Sorry.
No, what happened?
No, I don't think they know how to treat people. And having DEI programs is an opportunity for them to
yes.
learn. So when I say DEI programs, there are companies that have that hired directors and executive directors to have DEI departments within the company.
Mm-hmm.
That teaching spreads company-wide at all levels.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody needs to learn because not everybody is aware or knows how, you know, when you walk in an elevator, what it means to someone to say good morning,
mm-hmm.
good afternoon, hello. You don't have to have a long conversation, but just that acknowledgement. To walk in an elevator and not acknowledge someone on the elevator, they don't understand how disrespectful that could be
mm-hmm.
in different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one little example. We can go deeper and deeper into like religions and other more strict cultures and things like that. But
I agree. Because, okay, so for me, the reason why I agree that it can be draining is because the adult
brain is hard to shift their mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that has lived a certain way for so long and doesn't want to grow or is really closed-minded, it's hard. It's a lot of work that sometimes you'd rather not have to pay company time for.
So I don't think, so first of all, key word there is want.
Right.
So want is the difference from the example that I use, because the example that I use is someone that actually does want to. However, when you think about DEI departments, their job or their responsibility is not to change someone's way of thinking or change their mind frame. Their job should be to set that expectation. So when you come to work, it is an expectation. You're expected to treat people in a certain manner and then build the policies and procedures around it in reference to what happens. Like, what are the repercussions if this behavior is not upheld? You know what I'm saying?
I do. But it still don't work for some people.
And that is...
It's hard.
You, that's policy, though. So
I know,
if you don't meet these requirements, then
I know.
You can't work here.
I
know
get that.
So,
do you know how much people don't care about if they have a job or not, though?
It's just... That's fine, and that's building the culture of your business.
I guess. I don't know. I hear so many different things about it. No, and I agree. They should have it. It should be there so everyone can understand it, et cetera, et cetera. I just understand how it can be draining at the same time.
Yeah. But my thing, I never said it wasn't draining.
Okay.
It's draining, as is everything. Having a finance department is draining. Having to report out is draining.
Yeah, maybe. I guess, I don't know. I got mixed feelings.
I think having a DEI program at the very least is important. Or
I think so too.
Or even if you don't hire to have one in your company, building relationships. There's lots of companies out there that like sell their trainings.
Mm-hmm.
It was a class with one. The lady.
What lady?
Oh, she didn't.
It was a lady, I remember,
because she didn't do live training. She only did recording, like she was selling the recordings of it. And while I was listening to her proposal, I'm like, you don't want to do that. Like, why wouldn't you do, like, go to the companies and provide live training? What? Her business was, like, pre-made.
Bitch?
Yes.
Oh.
It was a lady. I forgot the name of her business, but I remember feeling like that. Like, why wouldn't you want to do live? And I wanted to ask her, but I never got around to it.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I do.
But yeah. And because I know of other programs that offer these type of trainings, when she pitched hers, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then when she said she didn't do live, I'm like, what? So yeah, that's really why I remember.
But I do think it is important for people to get treated with respect. It makes people want to be like feel comfortable going to work because they're being acknowledged and respected. And most times, that's the bare minimum of what people want at work. Sometimes just to be acknowledged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I haven't been in corporate life in a very long time, Michael. You are absolutely right. So there are things that I can't relate to, but I do have a little bit remembering from when I was in corporate America, and it's scary now because my small business, I do want to expand it, which means I'm going back into corporate America and I have to be the boss. So all these things I listen to and I absorb them because this is going to be my job, my role, and I want to keep my employees. I want my employees to be happy because I didn't start off as the boss. I also was I was the TA. I was this, I was that. I wasn't always the one that was delegating the jobs and the roles and requirements and this and that. So I listen to all my friends that do whatever role or job that they do about the different complaints. And I read these DEI articles and I read the comments to see what people are saying. So all these conversations matter. So everything that people were saying to me, I'm processing it. And then later on, I'm going to be like, hey, her voice is one of my consciences. You work with actual children in corporate America. Life shows you how children and adults can be. And that is why I work with children. Honestly and truthfully, this is why I work with children, because it makes sense why they act the way they act. Some adults, I'm like, wow, you look like the 2-year-old who went for 12 hours.
You should probably go to a DEI program.
They probably should.
Or see
it. Or they can come to family care, and I can, show them their listening ears and
gentle hands. No, those motherfuckers.
No.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't think I have the capacity to deal with adults that are rude and mean and disrespectful. So I just, yeah, that's what the big
and the thing is, there are some that are rude and disrespectful. Then there are some people that just don't know. Like,
yeah,
you have somebody would say something, you look at them and be like, you're clueless as to why that probably shouldn't be the way you think. And I very strategically say the way you think and not what you said, because you can say anything, right? You can say anything. But if you're thinking a particular way, that's bad. I think some ways that are bad.
Me too. Because I'm human, but I don't really come up with now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, you shouldn't say this out loud. No, no, no.
You'll get canceled.
The cancel culture, which, once you think about it, isn't that bad. The cancel culture is really just holding people accountable for doing and saying things that aren't really nice.
Yeah.
Ish. For the most part, if you really think about it, the cancel culture is people holding people accountable for doing things they shouldn't be doing or saying out loud. Like, keep that in the privacy of your bathroom where no one's listening and hearing, or the privacy of your village where you can say and do these things and no one's going to subject you to being canceled. Or, you know, because there are sometimes those thoughts that you have and the people around you be like, you know what? I get that.
Yeah,
there's that. So you just got to know how to, where to stay and do certain things and you will get canceled.
Yeah.
Let's read the comments. You feel like swaddling an adult, they'll pay you extra. No, actually, I don't. I just became a hugger 16 years ago because of my daughter. So, no, I don't want to swaddle an adult. Any other questions? Oh, man. You guys are always, always, always a great time. We got 46 minutes in. How are we doing? Did you want to bring something else up?
I had something. I don't remember what it is.
And I'm using all my devices right now before I can look something up first.
I know.
We talked about so much, because there's so much that's going on.
Yeah, I had something else that I wanted to ask. And I was like, we wasn't going to have time.
Did you want to talk about the pastor who had his wife sit in the back? If he?
Oh, my God.
I guess that just brought you out of your whole, like,
so many things. Mode. So many things with that one. Things. Because.
All right, we got to give them context. We got to give them context. Okay, you guys ready for this scenario? Do you want to do it or you want me to do it?
You can do it and I'll add
it. You'll just bend if you need to. Yeah. All right. So we came across this post on the media, it's probably Instagram, where it was two couples. They're both in the church. It was three couples? Okay, three couples. They're all in the church. They're pastors and deacons, and their wives were with them. So one couple says to the other pastor and his wife, if you guys were to get on a plane and there was a seat, there's only one seat in first class, and the other seat is in
coach.
Who would you let your wife take, coach or first class? And the pastor said he was going to let his wife sit in coach, and he was going to take the first class seat. So everybody jumped on him like, hey, you're going to let your wife sit in the back instead of sitting in the front? And he was like, but she doesn't mind. And it was just like,
So yeah, the conversation went from there, and... The other two couples expressed like, absolutely not. My wife is sitting in first class, and I'm gonna go to coach. Like, how could you feel okay sitting in first class, sending your wife back to coach? And this was interesting to me because when we talk about the hierarchy of relationships, oftentimes people mention God, husband, wife, kids, right? And if you apply the hierarchy to this situation, the husband should be in first class, right? Because we're considering first class being the better seat, it has more space. You know, you get better treatment in first class and all of these things. So, seeing the other two couples that are in the church be like, absolutely not, I hold my wife higher than that. You know, I'm absolutely letting my wife. I found it very interesting that nobody said we as a couple was giving up that seat so we could easily sit in the back. Nobody said that.
I didn't even see that in comments.
But this bothered me because the pastor that said that he would take the seat, I felt like his personally was very arrogant about it.
Oh yeah, he was. I didn't like,
and he would refuse to understand, or to even to even try to understand where the other two couples were coming from, where they were expressing like, no, I'm not going to take this and let my wife have less. I'm gonna give my wife more. You know what I'm saying?
Can I say something to that real quick?
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why they kind of like attacked him and jumped on him as a PK, you're supposed to, the leaders of the church, the pastors, et cetera, they're supposed to love the church the way God so loved his children. God loved us so much that he put his life on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So you being the leader, the person in between God and delivering the message of God's message or whatever, if you love the church so much, your wife is part of the church, you're going to give your wife that first class seat because you love her that much. You're going to put your, you're going to risk, you're going to put your comfortability on the line, your life on the line for her because she is of the church. So that was the counterpart to it. So yeah, it's God, husband, whatever, 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 and he should be comfortable with this and the third, but if he loves the church that much, he's going to sacrifice that comfort for the church, which is his wife. Because she's not the spokesperson of the church. She's not the interpreter, God's messenger. She's married to the messenger. So because they are of the church, he's supposed to sacrifice that and give that to her. So if they are, I hate when people pick, choose, and refuse what they want to follow and don't follow the Bible. Like, if you're going to follow the Bible, follow the goddamn Bible. Do what you're supposed to be doing the way the Bible says you're supposed to be doing. Don't be picking out, oh, this is convenient for me in this moment. That's what I want to do. No, no. If you're going to do something, stand 10 toes down on it. If you're going to be a pastor and be delivering the word of God to people, do it the right way. Follow it the right way. I don't know which version you're following, if it's the Gen Z version or it's King James version. God damn it. That ain't supposed to be how it's supposed to go. Donald Trump version, that ain't how it go.
You're doing something
about it. He's selling everything to get the black vote. And they buying it. I won't be surprised if the
Donald Trump got to buy it.
Because our president. I remembered my last question, and I think we got time-ish.
We do got time. That's all I wanted to say. If you want my opinion, I think, I'm sure my husband will tell me to sit in first class. I probably would say, let's both sit in coach together.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm a fair person, but I just felt like that was interesting.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, leave your comments. Whether you're married, single, dating, I don't care what your relationship status is. It's a scenario. Tell me your thoughts on it. Talk about it in the comments. Discuss, would you, as the wife or as the husband, would you let your wife sit in coach or first class? Is it a conversation? Y'all go sit together. What you doing? Let us know. Let's talk. And for the last topic I have, because it has come up a lot, and I hear it, and I see it all the time, I'm like, oh my goodness. Would you take advice from someone that hasn't experienced what you've experienced? Like, would you take marital advice from a single person? Would you take advice, parental advice from someone that's not a parent? Things of that nature. Because I hear it all the time, and I'm like, I get it, why people that are married would be like, oh, I wouldn't take advice from single people. But what if that person is single for different reasons, you know what I mean? Like, not all the time. And I feel like, as far as relationships go, the only thing, the difference between marriage and not being married is that document. It's a legal binding contract that you got Uncle Sam involved in your business. But if you're having a healthy relationship is a healthy relationship, you know? But again, I'm not married no more. I tapped out, baby. But I'd do it again, if it's right.
Yeah, so the thing is, for me, when you say advice, right, I feel like you should take educated, let me rephrase that. I feel like your decision should be an educated decision and not educated from one person, because there are multiple sides to every story. So the person you're talking to probably only has one, maybe they have two sides of the story. That's one. In reference to if they've experienced what you've experienced, I feel like logic, you guys all know I love logic. I feel like logic lives in everyone. And I say that hesitantly because I guess that could be taken
subjectively.
Subjective.
Yeah, because when you hear somebody, like, I see how you got there, but nah, that ain't it.
But I feel like you should consider who you're talking to. I always say, if someone comes to me with conversation about something that I've never experienced, I always like preface my response to them with, I've never experienced it. I'm comparing it to this experience that I've had, or, you know, I can only speak from the point of where my knowledge comes from. So for instance, if someone is giving you like advice like that, then I feel like considering it wouldn't be a bad idea. I don't think it's appropriate to do exactly what someone says, whether they've been in your situation or not. I think you should truly like do your own research, whether that's talking to multiple people, whether that's talking to one person and, you know, doing some research online. Talk to yourself. I feel like we don't talk to ourselves enough. Get in a room by yourself, stand in the mirror. I feel like your actions brings things to life. So, you know, you can sit in a chair looking at a wall and talk to yourself, but I feel like if you were to stand in front of a mirror and talk to yourself, you would get greater perspective of what you actually are like thinking in your subconscious. So I feel like whenever you're making a decision, you can take any perspective. You could take all the perspective. You could, you know, get advice from everybody you know, but take all of it and make your own decision. Make it your own and do what's best for you based off of the knowledge that you obtain talking to people.
I agree.
Yeah. So, married or not, they could have some great advice.
Have some great feedback.
Mm-hmm. Just based off of
the information. All the words, I have nothing to say to that. You said everything I was saying.
And I feel like that about everything. Even I tell people all the time, when you go to the doctor, they're educated guessers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are leaving out particulars of what you're going through, you're not giving them all the information to make that educated guess. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
The response or the advice you're getting from your doctor is based off of the information that
you gave them. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you tell them that you're getting headaches, but you fail to mention that the whole half of your body numbs out every now and again, they're not going to be able to accurately
diagnose you.
So,
yeah. I agree. There's that. Bei Zhen says she takes all perspectives into consideration.
You're right. We on the same page.
Yeah, we're definitely on the same page with that. Anybody else got feedback for us? Jump in the comments, whether you're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. We are on all these platforms. Drop it in the comments. Let us know what you think. If you are, asses are selfish as fuck. Yeah, they can be. They definitely can be. I absolutely agree with that. All right, you guys, it was great. Thank you for tuning in. Awesome sauce conversations tonight. Mm-hmm. And we did it within time. Look, we didn't even get to an hour yet. We still got 2 minutes and 46 seconds left.
I'm going to go find the rest of those rap songs.
Those beef?
Yeah.
And I think I got
one. We didn't even talk about the ladies.
The ladies are hilarious. It's all entertaining to me, so... Again, this is rich people problems because these people don't even know I exist, and I love GLOW.
And I still listen to music from the 90s, so I really know.
I found a whole nice mix of music from the 90s.
Yeah, that's what I prefer.
Yeah, I love the 90s music. All right, you guys, thank you for tuning in tonight. We will be back May 8th because May 1st is Nitty Boo's birthday. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And you know we love celebrating birthdays around here, so. If there's anything you want to discuss with us, make sure you can send us a DM, send us a tag, send us a something, send us whatever. We are on all platforms as Pandagasms. Tune in, tell a friend to tell a friend so we can let's talk. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you guys in 2 weeks. Love you.